Thank you very much. Clearly, I'm not Jeremy Watson, but I'm standing in his place. As was mentioned earlier, he's unable to be here because he's ill. Today we're talking about peak water. And in this context, I'm going to talk about resilience and climate change and a particular case study of some work that colleagues have done looking at how you can manage the water system in a catchment area. A couple of quick definitions first, though. The idea of peak water was developed from the notion of peak oil, which has been around for some time now. There is a difference, though, in that obviously oil is very much a finite resource. Once we've pumped it all out of the ground, there is no more left. Water is different from that in that it is a renewable resource to some extent. So when we're talking about peak water, what we're really talking about is the point at which global demand exceeds the natural global supply of water. At the moment, that may be true in particular areas, but it's not true globally. So we tend to talk more commonly about water stress and water scarcity. Water stress being the situation where demand is exceeding the available supply, and water scarcity where natural climatic factors are restricting the amount of water that's available. Both of these things can be induced by human activity, economic or political there. So there's a number of different definitions here, but they're all really talking about the issues around water shortage and how we manage and use our water. This is rather an interesting statistic. By 2015, almost 2 billion people will be living in countries or regions with absolute scarcity, and two-thirds of the world's population could be under stress conditions. 2015 is only 5 years away, and we're talking about almost 2 billion people living with water scarcity and two-thirds of us living under water stress. Something to really think very hard about, I think, as we look forward. I think Michael showed this, or a version of this picture already. Obviously, this is a picture of sort of where we're at the moment. Climate change is only going to exacerbate the situation, and it will influence what we can do, where we can do it, and how we can do it. And obviously, there's going to be a serious impact in terms of the water that's available to us. And this is really going to drive us much harder and sharper down the road of sustainable water management. And politically, water is very much moving up the agenda. This is a graph from a World Economic Forum energy industry report, from 2007-2008. Interestingly, water does appear on it, but it's very much down the bottom left-hand corner where that red circle is. The following year, it had got sort of two-thirds of the way up to being almost the top issue that they're talking about. In the top right-hand corner is climate change as an issue. So you can see how rapidly water is rising up the agenda. I think that backs up a lot of the things that Michael was showing us earlier with all the reports that have been coming out in the last few months. So clearly, there's a growing understanding of the need to get our heads around this and really understand the impacts. And what I find most interesting about this is it's a graph from the energy industry, who, you know, at one level you might think have nothing to do with the water industry, but they can see this is going to impact their daily business. The other thing, which again Michael touched on, is that water usage is very different around the world. So if you look at public water use, use for irrigation and so forth, what we do in different countries looks very different. So the solutions that we need will look very different. We can't take a one-size-fits-all solution and apply it worldwide and think that's, you know, job done, that's a good one. We can't. We need to deal with this specifically and locally. And we really need to think of the whole thing as a system. Michael talked about, you know, water use in industry and so forth. It's not just the water out of the tap that's going to be a problem. You know, it's not just taking shorter showers and that kind of thing. It's actually, will there be enough food? Will we be able to run our production lines with the amount of cooling water that's needed and so forth? So we really do need to take a systems approach to all of this. So the case study that I'm going to talk about has come from some work that we're doing with the C40 Climate Initiative and the Clinton Climate Initiative, looking at resilience for water resources. And the slides I'm going to show you are the result of an actual workshop that was held with Ho Chi Minh City, considering their existing water resources, the impacts on these resources of things like climate change, demographic change, which obviously is another big issue, And what can be done to provide a resilient approach to water management to mean that those populations can continue to use the water that they need to. It even hit the headlines in the news, which is good to see. And it's very much about transferring knowledge through the Clinton C40 initiative from the kinds of things that we're already thinking about here to areas where it's becoming an emerging problem. Two of the key issues that came up, which I think you know we will appreciate as well, were the issues of both too much and too little water. And I'll go on to talk about that in a little bit more detail. Ho Chi Minh City is at the confluence of two major rivers. I need to look at my notes to get the names right. Saigon River and the Dong Nai River. So there are two major basins draining into the location where Ho Chi Minh City is. And what this means for them is that during the flood season, the wet season, they have an issue with surface water management. However, in the dry season, demand, so demand is the green line at the bottom and the pink line is the natural yield of water. So during the dry season, they have an issue with meeting demand because there's insufficient water, obviously kind of falling from the sky, coming down the rivers. So there's a water management issue to be handled. So looking at what happens when you supply, when you manage the water with basin storage with reservoirs, the issue of supply in the dry season can be completely resolved by doing that. What's also interesting is that the issue with surface water management in the wet season can also be substantially managed. Really only in the month of October do they have significant concerns with flooding. Once they've implemented a reservoir system that can help manage their water supply. So this isn't just about supplying water in the dry season, it's also about managing the issues of excess surface water. However, climate change obviously is going to have an impact on that dry season. And the projections are that the dry season will extend all the way through to June. But the projections for the water storage are that actually that will still manage to meet, in the sort of short to medium term, they'll still be able to manage to meet their supply requirements. Obviously, as time goes on, we have to see whether that will continue to be the case. And that also shows that because it's very marginal on the left-hand side of that graph there, that they need to do more than just capture water, but actually they need to start looking at sort of sustainable management of the water that they're using as well. This just shows some of the balance of how water is used in the Ho Chi Minh catchment area and within the Dong Nai Basin. Again, as Michael pointed out, significant quantity of their water is used for irrigation, so essentially for foodstuffs. Also, in their case, there's a significant amount of water used for salinity control. That's obviously a big issue because if the land surface becomes polluted with salt, or if the water sources become polluted with salt, obviously that causes a very significant issue with water supply. Then there are also the kind of the more industrial and human-based uses, domestic water use, industrial water use, hydropower and so forth. With better demand management and better water management, however, they can start to look at both better methods of irrigation, so using their irrigation water more sensibly. Also, if industry these are all things that they came up with in the workshop, I believe, that you know, industry should be looking at conserving groundwater resources. Domestically, they will need their high value possible water will need to supply a larger population. Therefore, there'll be pressure on the amount of water that's available for irrigation, because the desalination water, really, they have to keep that under control. So there needs to be a more intelligent management of irrigation water and a more cautious use of other water sources. This slide then demonstrates some of the impacts that were discussed at the workshop, what that means in terms of water resources, and then what they can be doing about that on the right-hand side. So on the left-hand side there, we've got the climate change impacts, which are coming. There's not a lot you can do about them. Sea level rise, obviously, is coming. Longer dry seasons and more extreme summer rainfall, which is their wet season. So the impact on water resources then is that with both sea level rise and with the more extreme rainfall, they're looking at urban flooding issues. With the sea level rise as well, there's issues around salination of the water sources, which obviously is critical. And with the longer dry seasons, there are issues around groundwater depletion. But there are lots of things that they can do and that they can foresee. So with increased raw water storage, with increased reservoir capacity, they can very much address both the urban flooding and the water availability, which impacts on the salination of water sources. And that was what I showed you with the graph of supply and demand earlier. Schemes to combat salination obviously will directly impact the salination issue. Demand management and improved basin management really do feed again into these bottom two. So these are all solutions that they can take. They're also all solutions that, if we were not considering climate change impacts, still make a lot of sense. Because of the issues around increasing population, increasing industrialisation and so forth, water use is going to increase anyway, regardless of whether we have less of it available to us and whether we have more of it falling from the sky in particular seasons. So all of these things on the right-hand side actually make a lot of sense for that community regardless. This is just sort of part of my conclusion now, that there is a soft path for water, which involves thinking about the whole system, the whole catchment area, and all the kinds of use. Obviously focusing on ensuring water for human use and human needs, immediate human needs. But very importantly, and this is what both Michael and John were talking about, ensuring water for ecological needs, because those ecological services or ecological systems that provide us with everything else that we do obviously must be safeguarded. Matching the quality of the water with the quality of the water need with the quality of the water use, and this comes back to some of the other things that were talked about earlier. You know, do we really need to be flushing toilets with drinking water? Can we supply lower grade water for different activities? Matching the scale of the infrastructure to the scale of the need, making sure we have enough capacity, but obviously not too much, because that feeds back into issue two about the ecological needs. Ensuring public participation in decisions over water, making sure that we bring people with us, they understand, so that we don't get gentlemen like the farmer saying, you know, my children can't eat trees, what are you doing? And then using the power of smart economics, so looking at actually how water management enables everything else that we might do. And my final slide really is that water doesn't have a fixed value. Its value changes as it becomes more scarce or less scarce. Water stress and water scarcity can really be very much managed by sustainable water management. If we look at these things carefully, we can do an awful lot for ourselves. It's not inevitable that we're all going to end up living in a situation of water scarcity. Water isn't oil, it is renewable, and if we are careful with it, we can live within our means. And the water cycle is very much affected by climate change, so we need to be thinking about that and building that into our resilience planning as we're looking to the future. Obviously, a lot of this infrastructure, it's put in, it's long-term investment in infrastructure. We need to make sure we size it right, not just for the immediate things that we can see, but also looking ahead to the future, to the issues of climate change. Thank you very much.